you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Talking Monkeys, your favorite podcast about your favorite show, 12 Monkeys. My name is Clark Wolf. I'm your host. It's very nice to see you. We have a great group of
Clark
folks.
With an E, Wolf with an
That's
E.
That's right. So you can find me.
I like it. It's your
Wolf
tagline.
Doesn't start
it
with is. Clark with an E?
But it ends with
what?
An E.
No, I don't.
Oh, is that Todd Stashwick?
Might be.
It sure is. And to my left, I have Miss Amanda Shule.
Hey.
Who saved the day and brought me a gluten-free treat and a highlighter.
I did.
Because she's a girl after my own heart. And, of course, the one and only Mr. Terry Metalis.
Hello.
It's a good...
This is the best introduction ever.
It's a good saucy group here.
Yeah,
I think
like
we're caffeinated and just high on life.
We did. We
Can
are.
Can I say Amanda brought in Nutella pound cake, and I am jacked.
She brought us
sugar.
Some lovely treats, which was very kind of her.
Jones on third.
Yeah.
That's oh, your, are we now?
I just plugged it.
Yeah.
So
that
they'll
free,
sound
free
free so
plug.
L.A. with your gluten-free cake and your Nutella
Hey, but
cake.
Mine's a real
guys,
thing.
I'm drinking coffee from a
Skylar.
11.
Skylar, get down. Skylar, get down. Sorry.
Excuse you,
I don't know who Skylar is.
Who's Skylar?
It's the name of every boy in Los Angeles.
Oh, Skylar.
Every little boy. Yeah.
Dakota.
Indeed.
There was a boy Dakota, one.
A girl Dakota.
Exactly.
Good
there
question.
Was a kid that came home from school. He said, Mom, there's this kid at school. He's got the weirdest name. Bobby.
Bobby. All right. So today we are talking about episode 211, Resurrection.
It's one of my favorites.
This
Love the series.
Yeah. Oh, boy, does a lot happen in this episode. And
could be a season finale.
It could, but it isn't. Lucky us.
Oh, it could
not,
be. You're right. It could be a
there's
season
I mean,
two
you,
more.
Oh, yeah. You could easily have gone out and...
Yeah,
that's
way.
True, actually. I just
Where's
reviewed my
notes.
Where's
the fun in that? That's Wait. Not what we do on this show.
No.
Fun?
We answer questions on this show, damn it.
Yeah, that's what we do.
And then we ask a hell of a lot more.
A lot more, I think. Yeah.
So the previous episode ended with Cole demanding that Ramsey and Cassie be locked up. Which was very shocking.
Yes.
That's yes. So, and now here we are. We see old Jennifer Goines, and she's, you know, burning relics of her former life. The storm is moving closer. It's very dramatic. They only have 6 hours left. And we also become aware, never mind, forget that. Okay. So basically we're Adler, Ramsey, and Cassie are planning a revolt against Jones.
A coup.
A coup, indeed, because they want to time travel without the time travel.
I would just like to interject
Please,
at this point
yes.
and say, just in case anybody is listening to this and getting fired up about Cassie personally planning a coup,
we go.
I would
here
like
we go.
To nip that in the bud
Let's
before
do it.
We even get that backlash.
Let's do it.
Cassie did not plan a coup. Carry on, Clark.
Okay.
I think maybe now's the time to just sort of address this. There's been a lot of really vocal people. Let's just take a quick second
Let's
just to
it.
Talk about this.
Let's
about
do it.
Who've been particularly harsh on Cassie. I would say from a creative standpoint, a lot of us are pretty dumbfounded by that, because Cassie's been through a whole lot, and I've gone through it quite a bit. But you know what? Let's just do it.
Let's just
real quick.
Yeah.
Here's Cassie. She is a do-no-harm doctor who's got a great life, who's got a career. She's
super hot fiance.
Super hot fiance.
Why does it gotta be about hot?
It doesn't. It just adds
He's smart,
to it.
Too.
He's a smart fiance.
He is
smart.
Very smart,
Boom.
Too.
She's walking home from work, and now there's an asshole in her car with a knife.
Yeah.
It says abducts her.
It's like the Unabomber.
He's crazy. He grabs her. He ties her up. Says all this
what?
Time travel crap.
You get tied up
Gets himself shot. Plants all this paranoid stuff about an apocalypse in her brain. She goes and saves this guy, finds out the world is going to end. Meanwhile, the guy who she's now partnered with is killing a lot of good people, like a Dr. Henri, as her life starts to come undone. Then she's abducted by a weird cult called the Army of the 12 Monkeys, forced to drink some weird thing, and they mess with her head and all this red forest nonsense. In an incredible mission where
Give
she thinks, yeah, Should I be doing a little Hamilton?
No, no. I just want to give you like the underscoring.
You should always be doing a little Hamilton, for the record.
You know, she says goodbye to the guy. They think the mission is over. She actually calls a bomb, blows up Cole, thinks it's over, moves on with her life. Guy comes back. Looks like we didn't fix it. Then it gets worse. Turns out the guy's best friend helped create the plague.
The one that she was trying to stop?
Right. And then her fiance, who, you know, just all he really does is care about her, doesn't believe they can stop this, which, by the way, the proof is in the pudding. Doesn't seem like they can stop this. Goes and makes a deal with the Army of the 12 Monkeys. Bad move. But the guy burns to death in an accident. And when the guy's burning to death, her partner Cole says, well, he made his choice. Then they track down the guy behind the plague, Ramsey, at Project Splinter. And when it comes to putting a bullet and putting this guy down, Cole's like, well, hold on a second. Wait a second. He's my buddy. But
didn't he make his choice?
Exactly. Good question.
Cassie gets shot.
What?
Sent to the future. The apocalypse. She's there for 8 months. She's got a gun to her head by
a nefarious character.
Nefarious character.
Devastatingly handsome.
Yeah, handsome and tall.
She sees that world.
And smart.
Thank you.
Okay, but you know what? Let's bygones be bygones. We now know who's going to create the plague. It's this psycho girl named Jennifer Goines. She goes back in time. She's going to take care of this. Oh, look who's there. It's her old partner who's saying don't kill her because she's a nice girl. So once again, Cassie with the best intentions.
Why does Cole get to pick and choose?
Well, his initials are JC.
Okay, fine. Guess what? You know what Cassie doesn't do?
Time Jesus.
And you know what Cassie doesn't do? Because Cassie's a good person. She doesn't kill Jennifer.
No.
She actually listens to her friend.
Boom.
But then you're like, okay, you know what? We burn the plague. We got to move on. Cole doesn't want to move on. It goes on and on and on. Meanwhile, poor Cassie starts to come around a bit and then has to go through this whole thing again where she's abducted, only this time her brain is really messed with. And she's brain raped, guys. She's mind raped. She's possessed. And when she's possessed, she does a horrible thing that leads to the death of Dr. Eklund and Sam going missing.
Mm-hmm.
So she's having a bad day.
Why aren't they kidding?
Clearly has feelings for Cole. Clearly, every time she's slightly cold to him. You'll see. The camera cuts back to her as she dies a little inside because she cares so much. You guys got to give her a break. Okay. Do you want to add anything to this, Amanda?
I think you did a wonderful synopsis, and I appreciate that very much. You know I appreciate that very much. I feel like it would be wonderful if, as people are watching each episode, they understand Cassie's standpoint and realize that her moves and her actions all have motive for the greater good. Her mission has, from the beginning, been for the majority of people.
Right.
And it seems like a lot of the time, other people's missions benefit one or just putting out one small fire. In last week's episode, Cassie and Ramsey found the origin of the messengers. If they had had the opportunity at that point to get rid of all of Dr. Kirshner's research and data and take care of the specimen, then all of this would probably have been put to rest and we would not have a television show, people. Mm-hmm. So guess what? Sometimes the other mission supersedes, but the fact is that hers was no less worthy than Cole's mission. It's baffling from my perspective when I get criticism regarding Cassie, when people have this myopic perspective of everybody else's, every other character's standpoint and not hers. Take a second, be an intelligent audience member, and consider all the facts.
She literally just dropped the mic. You know, here's the thing, and the other side of this is we have, of course, love this passionate debate about Cassie. And it's what we intended for you to – this should be complicated. This is not supposed – this is
well,
not –
Well, you know, that's what I had responded on Twitter to, in defense of that. It's that when all these conflicted moments and these dark moments and these regretful moments, they are there to make good TV. If it all went according to plan, there is no show. If there wasn't conflict and disagreement and pain, there's no show.
And something I said a few minutes before we turned the mics on, I said, is that the show you want to watch?
Not at all.
Is that do you I want the show?
I didn't watch Battlestar to watch them all again.
Yeah. Do you want Symbiosis on a television show? You don't.
And
also,
Game of Thrones. If it was really just a game, they're playing games and then they kiss.
And they're sitting on thrones.
Right.
Yeah. Polo and smooching.
But
it's sitting on the Iron Throne. It's good that everybody is passionate, but everybody's wrong. Cole is wrong. Cole is wrong to just be a dictator in that situation and be like, "We're going to 57." That's the end of it.
Yeah. Why does his mission?
Ramsey, by the way, no one's coming at Ramsey.
Nobody's coming at Ramsey.
Ramsey drugged his best buddy and was
coming at
hardcore.
Ramsey.
Anyway, So we're going to move on to 211.
Thank you for listening to that, guys. That's appreciated.
But it's important for this episode because it actually comes to blows.
It really does. It's a device. There's a lot of division here as to what to do and where to go. And that is where the whole thing kicks off.
How Clark's the kindergarten teacher. She just like brings us all right back to sit on the carpet.
No, but
Indian style with our hands in our laps.
Yes, children. Today I'm going to tell you a story. A story that begins today and ends tomorrow.
Wow.
There you go.
So to the beginning and ends at the beginning.
Exactly. But no, Terry, weren't you going to get that tattoo someplace? Remember when we were talking about that in New
someplace?
York?
Someplace?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't going to get the words, a story that begins at the end and ends at the beginning. Where would I put?
We discussed.
No, I was going to get the monkey we got picked
Terry's
up.
Terry's not
third
remembering
season.
The conversation
no,
that we
he's
had.
Not.
Yeah.
We'll
discuss this later.
Oh. It's an old play in that joke.
Yes.
Have a nice day.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Well, offline.
Sorry, Clark. You can rein us back in now.
All right. All right,
it's
children. Settle. 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 Are we settled? Are we settled?
Sure.
Okay. So, all right. But speaking of conflict, yes. So we're at odds here. Basically, there is a coup not started by Cassie. Aided by Cassie, though.
Absolutely.
Yes. So Ramsey, Adler, and Cassie say, we're going to the witness, and we're going to go find, you know, it's Titan time, kids.
Titan time.
And Jones and Cole say,
da-na-na-na.
Yeah.
Da-na-na.
And then Cole and Jones say, no, we're going to 1957 because there's a paradox there that we have to stop. And one of my favorite parts of this whole opening was Cassie kind of inviting Cole on her mission, and then Cole's like, well, you can come on my mission.
Yeah, because they still care about each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love that moment where she's like, Ramsey is not thinking Cole's going to be on board, but she still is like, we can still do this together.
Well, she's also afraid that Cole is going to get caught in the crosshairs. She's terrified that whether he does it intentionally or not, Ramsey will somehow get Cole killed with his...
She says, where's Cole? When Ramsey comes into the room and he's like, and he doesn't answer, she's like, where the hell is he? And he's like, I wouldn't kill him in cold blood.
She says, I don't know anything anymore. I can't remember the exact line. Yeah, because she's terrified.
I love the shot of when the doors close on you. That's such a trailer shot.
No, but that's later. Clark
hasn't
gotten there.
We're jumping around.
No,
this is 211.
We haven't gotten to that yet.
Okay, go ahead, Clark. You steer the ship.
Why am I even here?
Captain Clark.
Why am I even? No, okay.
Captain Wolf.
Yeah, exactly. That's Captain Wolf says it's time to listen to me now.
Yeah, we'd still be talking about people playing checkers on thrones if you weren't here.
I still love that story. I would like to explore that more. All right. So we're in conflict, and Cole figures out that, you know, what their plan is, and he says this is a bad idea, and he's mad. But he finds Deacon. I want to talk about this scene because let's have a moment of levity here. Cole finds a naked, drunk Deacon.
As you would.
You do.
Yeah. Like you going out as he came in.
Yep.
Thank you.
Indeed.
Drunk.
And so, yeah, is Mama he kind of like... Is Deacon kind of in this moment like, all right, this is the end. What are we going to do here?
This is a scene that started as an off-the-cuff thing in the writer's room. I was pacing. I was talking to Sean. I'm like, we just need a great Deacon scene where it's like he is off the rails because of everything that's going on. And we get a taste of West 7 Deacon. And I'm like Cole walks in a room and he's drunk, buck naked, and then it was silent. I was like, that's actually really cool. Let me pitch that Todd. I don't know if he's going to go for it.
course I am.
But he went for
like,
it.
I was like, I'm glad
it's
I.
About time.
Like, finally.
You had a month, right? You were like,
yeah, I was
back.
Like, give me a month. Give me a month.
No, Todd was like, great, I'm drunk and naked right now.
Yeah, yes. I was like, well, just start cheating.
In the writer's room.
Yep. No, it's funny because I remember when yeah, Richard came up to me. He's like, you got a month to get ready to get naked. I'm like, what you see is what you get. That's the sad truth. But and then we were walking to one of the daughters' camps. I was walking with Terry. And I'm like, he should be singing something. And then we just started kind of riffing on what that, so that it's just that, like, that just, I don't give a shit. It's the end of the road. And I think at one point somebody said, he's cleaning his gun. And I said, no. He's sharpening his knife.
Right.
Because that was the first time that we saw Deacon.
It's the same shot, too, that knife. Yeah.
Right. And I go, and if you're drunk and naked, sharpening a knife is not
even crazier.
It's crazier. So that's kind of how it, and then it's also the moment where, he's having the drink with Aaron.
Yeah, which I like. I did write down, I do want to mention it, this line, why don't we have a drink and talk about killing Ramsay?
Like old times.
Like, what a great line that was.
Yeah, which was a callback to season one, which I loved.
Poor Ramsay, clearly, but, like, hilarious.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to murder him.
Some of the conversations that we were having also were... Because I think initially it was a lot of it in the original draft was just about Cassie. And I think that was not enough of the downfall. This is why we started kind of peppering back. Well, he's losing the West 7. Like, he's lost kind of everything of who he was from season 1 to now. He's lost it all.
Including the world.
And the world.
Yeah.
Right. So we massaged the dialogue so that it included kind of all the dominoes that have fallen to get him to that I don't give a shit place.
Yeah.
And then that culminates
with... say that swear word?
Yeah.
I think because it's on the show.
Yeah.
I think same rules apply, maybe.
Everything. Anything goes on a podcast.
And it also culminates with him vomiting in the corner, which was amazing.
Well, and also there's actually...
Yeah, how good
was
that?
It was so good.
But I had a vision for that because I wrote that in my last pass of the script. I was like, let's go save the... And you just hard cut... And I remember being in the mix stage. I'm like, I want the music to go, and then I want everything to drop out on the cut. And they all stopped and looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, just trust me, just do it. And the music editor's like, you know, this goes. I could go to music editor jail for this. I'm like, get ready, buddy. We're doing it. And then it plays so well. Much better just to be the hard cut with the music drop out to the.
Yeah, it was beautiful. But the one thing I don't want to glaze over is there was a moment that we also had with Cole. Where you get a bit of more insight into his attachment to Cole, which he says, you even talk like him.
Yeah.
Which is saying why he's been attached to Cole so much is he's his brother to him. Yeah. The brother that
a replacement.
Which is super interesting because the scene that was right before that was Cole and Ramsay, which is also a great scene where you see Ramsay's just like, I'm dead already, man. I have to go to the witness. Like, you don't know what it's like to have a family. You don't know what that means. The brotherhood thing, it's interesting to see. And you could see Cole melt a little bit, too, at that thought. He's like, this guy actually has a heart, you know?
Yeah. Well, and there was a... And then the other thing, just back to the naked part of it,
sure.
I had gone to
let's go back to this.
This
is the important thing.
but it was the discussion that we had had about all the things that Cole says, all the things he survived. So we had conversations with the makeup department to go, okay, well, let's show that. And let's show all the bullet wounds. Let's show all the knife wounds. Let's
Your
show
father, all those things.
Yeah, all the things.
Literal scars.
The literal physical scars that you see when he's not clothed.
And I think
reflecting.
I think if we're really, when you get to the bottom of it, the real question you come away with is, were you wearing a cock sock?
Oh, yeah. But that was more for Aaron.
Right,
I would have gone full Deacon. Well, that was
full
more fair.
Deacon.
Which actually, it's so
feel
funny
free
because,
to use that
because
you need
because Terry's like howling full from Deacon. He's howling from Video Village. He's like, because when you wear one of those, you look ridiculous. And it's more out of a politeness to your fellow castmates.
Yeah, but the thing is, with those, that's more of an eye pull.
I imagine.
Well, yeah.
I didn't have to look at it.
Well, we shot it around Christmas time, so it was like Christmas themed.
Yeah, it was a stocking.
They had to snip Jingle Bell
it was red and white with holly on it. And there were very specifically placed bells.
Right.
All right,
Clark,
now, children, settle down now. Settle.
Audience, this is what happens when you don't get a pickup.
How do we get anything accomplished?
Everybody starts to lose their minds.
All right, so let's get back to our situation. Let's get away from the cock socks and the argument. Okay.
Clark said cock socks.
Teacher said a bad word. All right, so... back in the facility, Whitley Cross Jones to snap. I was surprised about that. I didn't think Whitley would turn on her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you notice in the last episode he was so unwilling?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it didn't come out of nowhere by any means, but like, especially in this time of need, like this was like a legit, like, okay, we're down to the wire kind of thing. And I didn't think he was going to do that.
Yeah. There were a couple of little hints that he was not on board with a lot of her decisions. But yeah, it is shocking because
Adler
of their
and Whitley,
relationship.
They go back to episode 9 and they start that. He's like, I'm inclined to agree with Miss Whitley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
none of you seem to know what's going on here.
So we
that was my Adler and my Whitley.
I know.
Really good.
Thanks.
Yeah, it was really, really
if
good.
You close your eyes, I can do the entire show.
I actually 100% believe that.
That's my Jones.
Off the mask. What? Is that the
was it just
scene?
Wheezing?
Yeah, Cole. I said that's my Jones. I said just to repeat the joke.
It's funny when you have to explain a joke.
It's funny both times.
It makes it funny.
So, okay, let's come back. Let's come back, everyone.
I can't.
I also, well, speaking of Jones headbutting Ramsay was
love it.
Yes. Amazing.
Love it. She was so excited to
that
do that.
That came
from
Jones.
Barbara.
From Barbara. Jones just
that
needed.
That was an outtake that just made it to final.
She last season she had that moment where she pulls the gun on Foster, right. And it was just like we needed Jones to have that bite again.
I think it was well deserved, and also I think it's just very her character. All right, so Jennifer Cole decides he needs to go north to get the daughters and to ask Jennifer to be the cavalry, as she puts it. And you know, she gives him a little bit of sage advice about becoming a leader. But
wait, we're passing over the physical fight between Cole and Cassie.
We did. Well, we thought we hit it.
Okay.
What do you want to talk about?
Oh, no. I was just, that's the first time we've ever seen them physically, you know, combative.
Do anything, really.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, no, he handcuffs Cassie.
Yes, that's right. He does.
He handcuffs her and takes the key, and Ramsay comes in and unlocks her, and he says, Cole did this. She's still unwilling at that point to do anything horrible to Cole.
Sure.
And then he comes in and he's going to kill Adler. And that's when Cassie finally draws the line.
Sure.
That's when she doesn't hurt him. She pushes him out of the way. Cole turns and starts fighting with her. And she protects herself. She has an opportunity to shoot him in the head and she does not.
No. I would hope she wouldn't.
See what you guys have turned her into? My God.
So no, I'm glad that you brought
that
up.
Mm-hmm. She's Cassie's custodian.
The sentinel.
All right. Let's see. So speaking of gunplay, basically, Cole convinces the cavalry to come with him. The other team at the facility keeping watch, they think Cole's headed to this loading dock. And Deacon comes out of nowhere. And surprise, he pulls a gun on Whitley.
Shoots a guy in the head again.
But I don't shoot Whitley.
No.
I like Whitley.
Yeah. What's not to? What's
that other
to?
Guy?
Like that other guy.
Another scrub.
I think I could go. Yeah, red shirt.
And then the exchange is between Jennifer and you. Is it see something you like, Granny?
Not yet.
So great. She looks at his eyes, checks to see if he's got a scar for some reason.
Mm-hmm. She's unstuck in time, so she's
right.
Always having to remind herself where she's.
Well,
at.
She's lived this event.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, she knows.
She knows how this is going to play out. Mm-hmm.
It's very fun watching all the little subtle beats, especially with a character like Jennifer Goines, because there's so much that she knows, and yet, and I think the audience does trust her, but could be
cray-cray. It could be useful. Could be a little of both.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
It's true.
And this all basically comes to a head. Everybody is in the splinter room. And there's
that's the first scene I had with Jennifer.
It is.
No, you went to the camp. In
I had with her.
Yeah,
first time we ever exchanged dialogue.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that was a good way to start.
But you did go to the camp in 208. You were in the back.
That was the first time Emily and I ever exchanged.
But you did go to the camp.
I know. You're driving that point home. You really have a hard on for
I
that.
Remember you being
get
there.
Get it. At the camp.
And
no.
I'm a lady. I don't
where
get those.
Where was I? I'm not going.
Okay.
I'm not going.
Okay. So we're all here. We're in the splinter room. And there's a squabble. That's your line, isn't it? Or is it Ramsey's? It's not.
Oh, that was Deegan.
It's personal.
Yeah.
He says that to me.
That's right. That's right. So squabble, and unfortunately Deegan shoots Jennifer Goins
accidentally.
Yes.
I wanted to kill Ramsey.
Yeah.
Fair.
No.
Fair. He's asking
totally
for
fair.
It.
It's trouble.
And then Hannah slashes you.
She slices you right in the face.
Can we just take a second? That scene to shoot. First of all, it took an incredible amount of time because those stunt women coming down were sensational.
Sensational.
Absolutely incredible to watch. They were some tough, incredible athletes. And then also Aisha, who plays what is her character?
The emissary.
The daughter. Emissary, yeah. If mother dies, everybody. The first time she did that.
She did it in a wide. It was so loud. Everybody shat their pants. Everybody
was terrifying when she did that, and she was pretty close to me. Yeah. But I mean, it was like you could feel your hair blow back.
Yeah. And she only had like three more of that. And I remember, like, and then by the third time, it was like,
save
your
voice.
You got to be careful for your close up. She's like, anybody dies.
That was just an ADR day.
She was great.
She was
She's
amazing.
So cool.
All of the women were amazing. And then Brooke, too, with her feral scream. Oh, God. It was really neat to watch because we had so many players and every single person was bringing her A game. You know,
favorite shot of the season might be Hannah dropping down on the time machine chair.
Yeah.
And then that other hop.
Avengers shot.
Pulls her mask down. It's like, I want that action figure.
Yeah.
I want Hannah cosplay. That's what you guys should just be working on, fans.
but
what's really interesting
Hannah's
that, you know, these women, these other actors came in. Brooke's first scene that she shot with us, and I know this is going back, was the scene where Jones and Hannah first see each other in 208. And these are people stepping into a fairly tightly knit family of actors that are all very comfortable. And I'm not saying that we're unwelcoming. We are very welcoming. But they were so brave and fearless with their performances. Nobody apologized or was uncomfortable to bring her best game. And it ups us, you know. So it just makes the whole thing more dynamic to be part of on set. And Brooke was incredible. Aisha was incredible. Emily, as always, is fantastic. And then I guess, you know, everybody else is as well. But it was really neat to see those other people step into our world.
Yeah, start interacting. And we're going to see a lot more of them.
Yes.
We can
the daughters
maybe
are
hint,
play a
hint,
huge
hint.
Part in the next two episodes.
So Jennifer Goins speaks of resurrection. Cole gets an idea. He splinters back to 2016, where we see this shot. Finally, we understand.
From Aina, 209, when he came to the door.
That's right. That's right. And now we understand what that's about. So he brings back young Jennifer to 2044.
Yeah, that's a great shot.
It's very cool. And old Jennifer says, may I have a moment alone with myself?
Yeah, a moment to myself, yes.
Which is so great. And they have this really, really wonderful conversation.
Which, by the way, shot with another actress might have been cheesy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This could have been really hokey. Absolutely. You have your old self talking to your young self and you know, yeah, but it wasn't.
It was beautifully done. The way it was written was beautiful, but done with another person and shot in a different way might not have had the impact.
And I feel like the writers really, I feel like they know who Jennifer Goins is.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like all it really her. Shows exactly. They have this is a fleshed out real person, and that's how you can write for an older woman who has experienced what feels like 1,000 lives and a young woman who can't get her one life under control and have them relate to each other. It's the same person, but as the same person, not like, oh, I'm older and wiser. No, it's me. And that line, the final line, I love you, is so, like, it made me cry. It was so, because I think so many, you know, first of all, you know, throughout this whole show, all these characters care about each other, yet they're in a war zone. So it's very hard. You have to play those cards close to your chest. We've seen this, you know, start to seep out over the last couple of episodes specifically. It's so hard for any of these characters to express love or affection, right? Because of their circumstances. But it's also so important for young women especially, but everybody, but I just personally related to it being like a young girl hearing an older version of myself or herself saying, you know what I mean? Saying, yeah. I love you.
This was a case of multiple writers on that scene where just because just how I run things is even if it's a scene that I've written, I'll hand it off to Sean or be like, or Kristen or anybody just to be like, or Chris Monfett to just be like, take a look. What would you do with this? And that scene had to do a lot. It had to be funny.
Yeah. And it is, by the way.
It had to be funny. It had to be unbelievably heartbreaking. And you have to be really sad that old Jennifer's going to die, you know, and because it does have to feel like you've killed off a major character. And then in the next shot, is that same character walking out the door and passing the torch. And it's not something I'd ever seen in a time travel thing before, like being at your own deathbed.
Right.
So in the writing process, it really became like, what would you say to yourself? And so, you know, and Richard had this line, look how pretty I was, you know, and I thought that was so great. And, you know, I came in and did like the hi chicken, I'm egg,
right.
Or hi egg, I'm chicken, and have a moment to myself and that kind of thing. And then Sean did the I love you moment. And at first when
you get to Sean to bring the sentiment.
Well, Sean's always trying to bring I love you into the show. And it's sometimes, believe me, we've cut it a couple times. But the
– Deacon said it to Clem. Cut it, though.
But it was like – when it was such a great idea and so heartbreaking to do. And then to tap it off, I love the way she dies is – I remember getting – there was a million, like, the writers had all come up with a million last lines. What is Jennifer's last line before she dies? And none of them were right. I was like, Jennifer would just say, okay, I'm dying now, which kind of felt like her from episode 2. And when so it was this great team effort. I love my writers so much for going through all that because I think that scene is – we're really proud of how that came out. And Emily – is outstanding and worked way, way too hard to make that work. It's proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, she nailed it for sure. And, of course, so let's not forget, as she leaves, basically what old Jennifer says is, you know, she says she supports Cole. We know that Jennifer supports Cole. However, perhaps in this situation, she's saying maybe we do the other thing.
Maybe both can win.
Yeah, maybe both. And so maybe you take the girls to Titan. Maybe you try.
Yeah.
And so that's what young Jennifer emerges deciding.
Which is a cool thing to look back on your life and be like, you know what, if I had not been afraid in this moment in my life, maybe I could have done something different. Yeah.
So most of the team is united, and but Jones is still trying to send Cole to 1957. But the thing is, he can't come back. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it's a year-long mission because they have no idea when the messengers are going to show up. They have no idea who their target is. They have no idea what to look for. But in a matter of minutes, this facility will be destroyed unless Cole succeeds. If he doesn't succeed, this facility will be destroyed, and eventually time is going to start collapsing. The Red Forest will appear in 2043, 2042, and 2016, and make its way all the way back to 1957 and beyond and gobble it all up. So it's really up to Cole in this moment. The other mission is maybe Ramsey and Cassie can make it to Titan, take out the witness and use his own method and his own intel to undo and unravel. So that's another option. So they're on separate paths.
Okay, and then but before he goes, Jones, you know, says thank you for believing in me, which is a very sweet line as well.
Yeah, and the hug was something I just saw on the day. Like he had turned, and I was just like, Aaron, this is gonna sound crazy. Let's try a hug. And he was like, oh, I'm down for that. And then
can I say something about that? I remember watching this conversation when you were talking to both Barbara and Aaron about the hug. And I remember you looking at Barbara and saying, I want you to receive the hug like no one's ever hugged you before.
Right.
And there was something so emotional, not only about you saying that, but Barbara hearing that.
Yeah.
And then seeing her response. Jones isn't super fuzzy.
No.
Nobody does walk up.
He hasn't even hugged her daughter.
No. Nobody walks up and gives Jones a big old hug. Ever.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what happened. It's shocking.
And the music's so great. And then he turns and goes up the steps and then drums.
It's
and
my favorite music of the whole season. I asked Terry to send me
It's a great track.
I love that track.
It's a great track. So, it's called See You Soon, which is kind of perfect for this show. It's a... I hope we get the soundtrack out because that piece. Anyway, go ahead.
It's really good. All right, so Cole splinters, and at the last minute, Cassie, who is en route with Ramsey, gets out of the truck, and she decides, I'm going with him.
She can't let him go off on his own. She can't not know what's happening with Cole.
I'm not arguing. Is there more to that, or is it just really as simple as that? It can be.
She wants to be with him on
this last,
I think
it's everything that means.
Yeah.
She needs to be, I mean.
This is it.
Yeah.
Her partner is Cole. It's not Ramsey.
Yeah.
Him going by, it's just not right. She should be back in time with
her partner. She's going to turn around and proceed with a mission of hope.
Yeah.
And not a mission of revenge. And she needs to follow her heart for that one moment.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And okay, so the facility begins to evaporate. Jones says, Hannah, you gots to go.
Yep.
I love you. Bye.
And then Jones goes
and then
down
Jones,
with the ship.
Bye bye, Jones.
And how beautiful were those special effects on the facility with
so
everything, the
gorgeous.
Roof blowing off and the storms. Oh.
So gorgeous.
I'm a fan of this show.
It's so good. It really is. And then finally we have this really beautiful moment in 1957 because Cole doesn't know that Cassie's going to come. And I don't want to be afraid anymore. I don't want to pass over that moment because I think that we've seen a strained relationship in a lot of ways between Cassie and Cole throughout this season. You know, can you talk about that moment and shooting that moment and...
Sure. Well, he also, in their fight, when she has him and he's on the ground and she's pointing the gun at him, he says to her that you're just afraid. You're afraid. And it's true that she's afraid of revealing herself. She's afraid of feeling. She's afraid of so much. And it's all masked and layered with bravado and toughness and callous and just goal-oriented focus. And she can't do that anymore. It's exhausting. And in the face of never seeing Cole again, she has to stare down that fear. So she shows up and she says, I don't want to be afraid anymore. And whether she's able to follow through with that, you know, she's finally come to terms with the idea that she can't. She can't be afraid anymore. She can't proceed in this shell any longer. And I remember when we shot it, we only shot it a few times, but I could feel a lump in my throat as I was saying it. And I don't think it's right at that moment for Cassie to be crying because I think she's still strong and they still have, you know, come what may, the two of them. But I remember really choking back emotion saying that to him and finally admitting it.
Yeah, well, and like you said at the beginning of this recording, Terry, this definitely could have been a season finale,
yeah.
But it's not.
It's not.
We have two more episodes.
I mean, each one of those are...
season finales.
One of them actually
yeah,
is
seriously.
Finale, but,
I mean, it's like...
oddly, it's 12.
Right, right.
Yeah, weird.
And then there's a sequel, 13,
just for good measure.
We haven't aired 11, so we need to tell the world about 11, but 12, you have to watch live. There is no question.
Oh,
like, and you cannot spoil
spoiled.
It. Do not
do
get spoiled for anyone else
spoiled.
Because... a major, major question is answered, a major event, perhaps more death.
Do not allow yourselves to be spoiled with 12. It is
because you
amazing.
Will get spoiled for 12. It will be everywhere. Okay.
Good advice from the people who know. All right, so Miss Amanda, where can the people find you on the internet, the nice people specifically?
At Amanda Schull.
All right, Todd?
I'm at Todd Stashwick.
And Terry?
At Terry Metallis.
And you can find me at Clark Wolf, Clark with an E, Wolf with an E. If you like this show, rate it, review it, share it, listen to it, send it, et cetera, and do not miss episode 12 of season 2, 12 Monkeys.
Entitled Blood Washed Away.
Thank you. Ooh. Thank you. Ooh, spooky. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.